guys. I'm Katie.
And I'm Rebecca.
And this is Chills,
Thrills,
and Kills.
What are you telling me for your itty bitty today, Katie?
I'm going to talk about, I'm not going to tell you the topic.
Okay, great. Even better. I love a good surprise.
I'm pretty sure you've probably heard of this. I had heard of it, but never like the specifics.
Okay.
So I was pretty excited about it.
All right.
But my sources are Wikipedia, NBC News, ABC News, some Wisconsin news station that I will be sure to include somewhere because I don't remember what it was called. Yeah, and all that's interesting.
Oh, if you actually want to text me whatever that one is, I'm going to start just editing out where you say your sources and just put them in show notes.
Okay.
Yay.
All right. So, on May 31st, 2014, Officer Dan Klein was out on his normal patrol.
Yay! Patrol! Wait a minute. Okay. Does this take place in water?
No.
Damn it, because I'm just picturing a cop pulling you over in a little rowboat.
Ha, ha, ha.
You know what? I'm a fucking delight, okay? I am hilarious.
Okay, fine. You can have that one.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, guys. Next best t-shirt. We need a patrol.
Yeah.
Continue. So, on his normal patrol route.
When he received a call from dispatch. Expecting to hear about some rowdy kids needing to be dealt with, or maybe even a random drunk roaming the streets of Waukesha, Wisconsin, when he received the call, he couldn't believe his ears. 12-year-old Peyton Lautner was found by a bicyclist clinging to life. She had multiple stab wounds, and the bicyclist was afraid that she was going to be bleeding, or that she was going to bleed out. She could barely talk, she couldn't move, she could, like, shake her head and blink her eyes, but that was about it. So, Peyton befriended Morgan Geiser in the fourth grade. She recalls herself feeling a little sorry for Morgan because she was always alone. Peyton started having lunch and inviting Morgan over for sleepovers, and soon the two became inseparable. Peyton described Morgan as funny, artistic, and really funny. She said that she was her best friend. When the two entered the sixth grade, they met Anissa Wire. Peyton was immediately weary about Anissa, but she gave her a chance because Morgan seemed to really like her.
I'm getting real Skylar niece vibes here, and I hate it.
Oh, yeah, I got that too.
Great.
So Morgan began spending less time with Peyton and more time with Anissa. Anissa and Morgan started discussing topics that made Peyton uncomfortable. Would this be one of our episodes if we didn't fuck up some words?
Not even a little bit, no.
So the main topic that Anissa and Morgan liked to discuss was Slender Man.
Yep, this case.
Slender Man is a fictional creature, which was created on an online forum called Something Awful for a Photoshop contest in 2009. He is said to be tall, thin, and faceless with a white head. Most often, he is depicted wearing a black suit. Other times, you can find photos of him with tentacles coming out of his back. Slender Man is said to cause fear, bouts of coughing, paranorma.
That's your favorite word, I swear to God. You mess up on it every single time. I am here for it.
Paranoia. And even amnesia. Jeez. Most of the time, he is depicted stalking children or hiding in heavily wooded areas. This absolutely terrified Peyton. Enough that she began to have nightmares, and she would have to wake her mother up in the middle of the night and beg her to insist that Slender Man wasn't real. Peyton recalls telling Morgan that she was afraid and did not want to talk about Slender Man, but Morgan insisted that he was real, and she was obsessed. This made Peyton consider ending her friendship with Morgan, but ultimately she decided not to. Peyton's mother said the following in an interview with NBC News of Peyton's decision. Peyton was such an empathetic kid. She recognized that Morgan maybe wasn't the healthiest friendship to have, but if Peyton wasn't her friend, she wouldn't have any others. So she thought everyone deserved at least one friend.
Oh, my heart.
Yeah. As time went on, Peyton noticed her friendship with Morgan diminishing as Morgan's friendship with Anessa began to grow. She recalled Anessa being really cruel to her. She said that she didn't care much for her and thought that she was jealous of the friendship she shared with Morgan. After all, it was Anessa that convinced Morgan that Slenderman was real. She fueled one thing Peyton and Morgan disagreed on, which, of course, was Slenderman.
Mm-hmm.
For Morgan's 12th birthday, the three girls went to a local skating rink. They ate frozen yogurt and went back to Morgan's house for a slumber party. Peyton recalls something feeling off throughout the night, but she shook the feeling off to help celebrate her friend's birthday. Celebrate. Oh, my God.
This case is the reason that if I, like, this case and Skylar Niece, 100% the reason I will never allow my kids to sleep over anywhere.
Oh, yeah, absolutely not. Never, ever. Girls are cruel. You notice all these stories that end up this way are mostly teenage girls. They are the devil.
Yeah. Yes, they are.
Yeah. So once the three girls arrived at Morgan's home, Morgan mentioned wanting to go to bed. This really set off alarms in Peyton's head. She expected to be up late. Morgan generally wasn't allowed to stay up late, and Peyton expected her to take full advantage of this on her birthday. She said the following of the sudden change in Morgan's behavior. Once I look back on it, I was like, that's really weird. Why didn't I see something? Why didn't I speak up about something being weird? I'm not blaming myself at all, because who could ever see something like this coming? The following morning, Peyton woke up to an empty room. She found Morgan and Anessa downstairs at the family computer. Peyton joined the girls where she was told they had made plans to grab donuts and go to a local park. The girls arrived at the park, and Anessa mentioned the three should play a game of hide-and-seek. Peyton was down to hide from Morgan with Anessa when Anessa told her to lie on the ground and cover herself with sticks and leaves so that Morgan could not easily find her. While lying on the ground, Morgan came from behind a nearby tree with a kitchen knife and began stabbing Peyton. Morgan and Anessa stabbed Peyton 19 times and then left her on the ground, told her that she was going for help before leaving her to die. So they definitely were not going for help, and you'll see that by how they were found.
I genuinely, like, I'm actually crying over here. I just can't. With all of these little girls and their friends and...
Yeah, you literally can't trust anyone at any age, and it's really sad to me that there's more violence within teenagers, like this kind of premeditated, super just bitchy violence between teenagers than there is, like, between adults. It's absolutely sickening that parents can't trust to send their kids off to stay the night at someone's home in fear of something like this happening. Like, it's just, it's a lot. So, Peyton recalls pulling herself up with the support of nearby trees. She stumbled to a clearing where she decided to lay down because she was too weak to carry on. This is where she was found by the bicyclist, and when Officer Klein received the call, he would never forget. Peyton was rushed to the hospital, where her mother waited. Her mother tried to reassure her through tear-filled eyes that she would be okay. She was completely heartbroken to see her daughter in such condition, and knowing that it was done by her best friend, just rubbed salt into the wounds. Surgeons at ProHealth Waukesha Memorial Hospital rushed Peyton into emergency surgery, where they discovered the stab wounds had cut through her diaphragm, which caused severe damage to her liver and stomach. They also discovered a chest wound that was less than a millimeter from her heart. Dr. John Kellerman, the physician who operated on Peyton, stated that if the knife would have been the width of a human hair further, she would not have lived. So literally, like, not even an inch from death, like... Oh, it just gives me chills.
I can't.
So Peyton awoke from surgery and began asking if her attackers had been apprehended. She had to write down all of her questions on whiteboards because she was unable to speak due to a tube in her lungs that was there to help her breathe. Peyton was told before the attackers' trial that the two girls said they attacked her to prove that Slender Man was real. That they had read somewhere that for him to show himself that he needed a child sacrifice, which I did a little bit of research on Slender Man, and it could have been taken down by now, but I couldn't find anything like that. So I don't know if, like, Anissa told Morgan that this is what she had read or what happened. I have no idea where this, like, theory came from, but yeah, just gross.
I mean, it's possible that since this happened, like, that particular might have been taken down.
Yeah, I mean, I could definitely see that. I feel like if it was that big of an issue, though, that they would have just completely tried to remove the entire story.
Well, I mean, good luck with that one.
Yeah, because, I mean, it spread like wildfire. But I don't know. Anyway, so apparently Anissa told Morgan that this is how you were able to come in contact with him. This is how he would show himself. But my question is, if this was real, what in the fuck were you going to do if he showed up? Like, what was your plan beyond this?
My guess is they didn't fucking have one.
Yeah, which makes me believe that you knew this was bullshit from the beginning and you were just two petty little bitches. And that was that.
I agree.
Yeah. So the two girls were found with a murder weapon near Interstate 94 at Steinhoffel's furniture store. Morgan felt absolutely no empathy, but Anissa was distraught, which I kind of thought would have been the opposite. But wasn't it the same way with Skylar Niece? Like, her quote-unquote best friend was the one that was just perfectly fine.
Yeah, it was Shelia, who was her childhood best friend, who was, like, the cold-hearted, everything's great, and then Rachel, who ended up breaking.
Yeah, which is just insane to me, because you've been friends with these girls throughout, like, arguably one of the most difficult times of childhood, which is going through adolescence. And you've watched her grow, you've grown with her, you've probably been through a lot of tough times, but you feel absolutely no remorse for, in this case, trying to take her life? Like, what are you?
A monster. Yeah. They're all fucking monsters. Every single one of them. Even if you're a good kid, you're a fucking monster.
Monster. So the two changed their murder plans twice before actually stabbing her. They originally planned to lure her into the woods, which they kind of did, but the rest of this plan was to get her into the woods far enough to where nobody could hear her if she yelled. They were going to tape her mouth shut and then stab her in the neck, run away, and leave her there to die.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Their second plan was to take her to the restroom at the park, cut her throat, lay her on the floor over the drain in the bathroom so that all of her blood would drain into this drain so that there would be no blood all over the place, which there's still a body. So if you were
trying to get rid of... Yeah, what the fuck was the point of that?
Right. If you were trying to get rid of evidence, good fucking luck. But anyway. So they... Like I said, they were going to try to put her over the drain so that all of her blood would go into the drain. And then they were also just going to leave her there.
I don't. Wow. They're not only are they fucking monsters, but they're also fucking idiots.
Yeah, really dumb.
So, like, okay, so sure, they can't get. Well, no, even still, they have the fucking body. They can get blood out of the veins that are still in the body. I just.
Well, not only that, did you really think that her parents, after not hearing from her, would not have reported her missing? Did you really think police would not have contacted your parents to find out where you were that day? Did you really think that your parents wouldn't tell police, oh, they were at this park because they didn't know that their child was a fucking monster and was going to murder someone? Come on now. Like, clearly did not think this through at all. Not that I'm saying anybody at this age should be planning anything like this, but if you think you're going to be a little badass, like, come on now. Obviously, you're a fucking moron. Anyway. So, obviously, they didn't go with either of their plans. They chickened the fuck out and just played hide and seek and then stabbed her and ran away. And they decided this as soon as Morgan's mom dropped them off at the park. So, walking through the woods with her, having a conversation with her, the whole time they knew this was going to happen.
Yeah.
Much like the Skylar Neese case.
Yeah. So,
the two little monsters immediately confessed to police and also admitted that their plan had been ready for a long time. Anissa pled guilty to attempted second-degree homicide, but was found not guilty by mental disease or defect. She was sentenced to 25 years to life, which included 3 years of mandatory locked confinement and involuntary psychiatric treatment. Morgan accepted a plea offer in which she would not go to trial and would be evaluated by a psychiatrist who would determine how long she would have to remain in a mental institution. Morgan eventually pled guilty, but was also found not guilty by reason of mental disease or defect. She was also diagnosed with schizophrenia. She was sentenced to 40 years to life, also involving of at least 3 years of that on locked confinement and psychiatric treatment, until complete resolution of symptoms or until she turned 53. Okay, so here's my question on all of this. It was premeditated.
Mm-hmm.
They admitted that it was premeditated.
Mm-hmm.
How the fuck did neither one of these get jail time? Like, generally, when you get off because of a mental defect or disease or whatever, or you are diagnosed as schizophrenic or whatever, I've never seen a murder case with someone who had schizophrenia who planned out a murder for months with an additional person and then, you know, played out the plan and then got off because they were schizophrenic. Normally, if something like this happens and your mental illness has anything to do with why you commit this murder, which I'm not saying people who have mental illnesses will commit murders, but if you get off because of a mental illness, normally something triggered you, your meds were fucked up, you know, whatever happened. Not you plan this out for months and then go through with this plan. I have never heard that before, ever.
I mean, I think there's a couple different things at play here. So, for starters, thank God the girl didn't die.
Mm-hmm.
In addition to that, these are two little white girls, right?
Mm-hmm. Very white.
Yeah, it's... like, the fact that Shelia Eddy has people arguing for her to get out of prison, I think says all that we really need to know, is it's very, very hard to convict a little white girl of anything.
But she was convicted and she is in prison, and I understand there are people that are trying to get her out. So what I understand, you know, Peyton didn't die, but obviously, like I said before, she was extremely close to dying. So why were they not charged with attempted murder? Like, I don't understand that at all.
I think from my, I obviously didn't do the research this time, but I have heard this case in depth, and I feel like there was something with the parents being really neglectful, and I think, like, the dad actually used to watch the shit himself, and that's kind of what introduced one of them, and I think there was a lot of leniency because of neglectful parents, not of the victim of the other two girls.
Well, from what I read, Morgan, which is the one who was good friends with Peyton, she was the one who was diagnosed as schizophrenic, but she did not have neglectful parents. She had super, super strict parents.
Hmm.
Like, she wasn't allowed to be up past a certain time every night. She needed to, like, her parents needed to know where she was at all times. They were the parents to, like, call and check in whenever she was out somewhere, whenever she was actually allowed to go. from what I read with Anissa's parents, they were the neglectful ones. So I guess I could see that factor playing in. I don't know. There's no way to explain this for me to accept it. Like, I think it's bullshit. Like you said, they're two little white girls got off on being locked in a mental institution. This was 2014. I'm willing to bet they're going to be released way before 40 years or 25 years or whatever, just because they're two little white girls. But I digress.
Anyway. Yeah. I mean, you're not wrong. It's complete and utter bullshit. And we all know that had the demographics been different, it wouldn't have played out the same way.
Oh, no. They would have tried to burn anyone else. And, you know, if anybody who committed these crimes was part of a minority, they would be burned at the stake. Not that I'm saying anyone deserves to be punished harder, which is, you know, kind of what we try to preach. Everyone needs to be punished the same way. But you're definitely right. The outcome would have been 100% different if the demographics would have been different. Sad, yeah. But very true.
Not that we're trying to get preachy on you all. We're just, the justice system is not just all the time.
No.
In fact, it's very often the opposite. So,
but yeah. Anyway, so the creator of Slender Man, Eric Knudsen, said the following of the case. I am deeply saddened by the tragedy in Wisconsin, and my heart goes out to those affected by this terrible act. The administrator of Creepypasta Wiki said the stabbing did not accurately depict the creepypasta community, and that no one associated with the site condones murder or satanic rituals. Fellow members of the creepypasta community raised money for Peyton through a 24-hour live stream on YouTube. They did this to show that they supported Peyton and to show that any related behavior would not be tolerated. So several movies have been made about this, obviously. Several movies have been made about Slender Man in general. It's been covered by many media outlets. Today, Peyton is alive and well, although she says she trusts very few people. Can you blame her?
Not even a little bit. I trust very few people and never had that happen to me, so.
Right. And even to this day, she sleeps with a pair of scissors under her pillow just in case.
That poor girl.
I know. And she's like, I watched her interview. It was fairly recent. And she's like super bubbly and sweet and just like is trying to be understanding. And I'm like, how? How in the world does a girl with that kind of personality end up with friends like these two pieces of shit? But I guess it happens.
Because life sucks. That's all I have for you guys. Really bleak.
But yeah, that was the Slender Man stabbing.
Well, thanks. I hate it. I'm glad you covered it, though, so that I didn't have to. I could not handle another one of those anytime soon.
Nope. Mm-mm, that'll probably be my last for a little while.
Yeah. Okay, so because it was so dark and we are kind of a more lighthearted one, I decided to just Google really dumb murder puns to kind of lighten this up a little bit. Not trying to steal your shine or anything. I just feel like all of the listeners need it after that. Because I certainly do. So, apologies in advance, guys. They're really bad. Within minutes, the detectives knew what the murder weapon was. What was the murder weapon, Katie?
A clock?
It was a briefcase.
I hate you.
I hate me too. You're in great company. If a group of dolphins is called a pod and a group of crows is called a murder, what is a group of small children called?
Oh my god. I don't know.
annoying.
Oh, God.
And this one, I'm probably going to end it on this one. It's less funny than the last one, but it's fitting. If a group of crows is called a murder of crows, does that mean two or three would be an attempted murder?
Oh, God.
All right, guys. Well, I hope that lightened your spirits a little bit or just made you want to murder me. I don't know. Get in line. I'm first in line, by the way. Anyways, if you like us, you like what we do, please consider supporting us on Patreon. We post lots of fun stuff in there, and we try to do lives once a month. You can do that at www.patreon.com/ctkpod. You can also send us mail, and that address will be all over anywhere you can find us on the internet, as well as in our show notes. You can also find us on Twitter or Instagram at
CTKPod.
You can join our awesome Facebook group at
CTKPodcast. You can also send in any listener stories, topic suggestions, things you like about us. Don't send things you don't like about us. You can send those to chillsthrillsandkills@gmail.com.
Yes, and if you would love to go over and do us a favor and just leave us a review anywhere you listen to podcasts, you can go ahead and do that, and Katie and I will actually pick one favorite one each and give you guys a little bit of a shout out on, I believe, our next itty bitty after this.
Yeah, so be creative. Make us laugh.
Yeah, it may actually not be the next itty bitty because I have no idea how many we'll have recorded before then. But the next itty bitty we record, we will definitely give you a shout out. So please make it cute, make it funny, make it fun.
Mm-hmm. Looking forward to reading those.
Yes. Anyways, until next time.
Bye.
Bye.